Okay, welcome back. As Lee says, we are on the home straight, and for a number of you that aren't in the room, I think you are definitely on the home straight because I think you've headed home. So thank you for all those that are here and our four chairs that we have here in front of us today. So James, Andreas, Vijay and Henry. And the questions in relation to our digital experience and how do we enhance our digital experience for the future. So we had two core questions here. How should our current digital experience evolve? What is good and where could it be improved? What developments should we prioritise over the next 3 years? So that is our first question, and I'm going to ask each of the chairs to make a comment, but basically the first one to gets the advantage because they can say everything, and the others then really just please add or where you've got a disagreement with what the first one said. So I'm going to start with this one. Andreas, would you like to... Yeah? You see, you didn't know. Start with what your group said in relation to question one.
Firstly, we pointed out that we are probably prime-based because we are probably the least ones to use digital technology. So, most seriously, we said that everyone appreciates what the foundation is currently doing. I think there is a huge amount of information that's being shared, and the level of transparency as regards materials, as regards webcasts, as regards recordings of meetings, it's just unprecedented and is seen as a role model, so keep on to that. The question that we had very soon on is, who do you think is your customer? Because it may well be that you have quite diverse customer groups. So we have one customer group that we identified as being the super user. Probably the standard setters, accounting technical departments, people that just assume or get everything and digest everything. But then you do have the ordinary user who just want to stay informed. And then you might have new users that first need to learn, is IFRS more than an inspector or not? So really boarding on. And each of those groups, and there may be several more, requires a different approach. So certainly you do not want to miss out on anyone, but on the other hand, you want to, you do not want to scare away others that you do have. So when it comes to going digital, we concentrated very much what you have currently on the website, interestingly, and weren't focused so much on, say, really digital, like Twitter messages and things like that. And here there were a few suggestions as to what can be improved. One comment that's speaking very much to my heart is think about going multi-language. Because the majority of your users are not native speakers, yet your products that you present are mostly in the English language. So is there a way that you can produce or more material and make it more user-friendly for those that approach it from a different jurisdictional perspective? Obviously, starting with the standards, that is a quick win, but there are other pieces, especially if you think about educational material or webcasts or things like that. That would be something. For those that come new to the club, it might be helpful to first educate them as to what IFRS is and find them an approach into the literature. So if you think about accounting students that approach IFRS, it's very hard to find a starting point, a natural starting point, because you don't read IFRS starting with IAS 1 and walk your way down. So you need some sort of entry help in bringing people in, what are core concepts and how could you familiarize yourself and equip people in order to make a way into this. What else? How do you find out about this? We were quite surprised to learn that maybe due to GDPR, you don't have statistics as to who is surfing your site and what they are doing. because that's standard technique, I'd say, for every website that we run. We try to know our customer who's approaching us on the website and want to see, are they specifically entering through the homepage, are they navigating, are they searching for certain information, or have they been alerted through some other electronic means, a news flash, for instance, that just says click here, and yeah, you click on it and you read the page, but then you were off again. So that's quite useful, because it might inform you as to what kind of information that you currently host on the website is particularly valued. That's not to say do away with anything, because the website, I think, has a dual use. It's a tool of communication, but it's also the central repository for all the information that you have. And for the super users, you certainly don't want to do away with that. But when you venture into questions like, are our videos appreciated? Are our podcasts appreciated? Are our Twitter news appreciated? You might get some hints as to, if you look into the behavior of people, how often something is being downloaded, how often is something being approached. So that would be quite helpful and certainly something to start with. I think that responds to what resources are currently useful and possible improvements. I'll probably stop there.
Okay, I think that's very useful as a starting point and a good basis. So Vijay, in your group, what additional did you have from what Andreas has talked about?
John, I noticed the emphasis on that word additional, so I'll try to stick to that additional. I think 4 or 5 points which I'd like to highlight. One is there's an observation regarding enhancing the accessibility of different content on the website.
So you focused on the website as well?
Yeah. Our focus was, our digital experience focuses largely on the largely on the website. Mm-hmm. And there was also observation that the preference for particularly millennials and the next generation is to access through Google rather than through the IFRS site itself. And when you go through Google, most occasions the IFRS link appears as the 6th or 7th one, so it's not appearing right at the top. So how do we bring that to the top? So this was one element. Second is taking closer to what Andrew was mentioning. Given the fact that many jurisdictions, there are languages which are other than English, how do we ensure that something like Google translation can give a much higher accuracy of conversion of the English content to enable them to understand what's happening at IASB and other content which is available here? The third input which came was the content which is available in EIFRS as a PDF or other web page. Can it be made available as an e-book format? More specifically considering that the next generation, the university students and others who are learning the subject, they are more familiar with using an e-book format for reading a content rather than using a running page. So can we convert it into e-book format? And another suggestion was regarding the website itself. Today, it's largely a desktop version. Can we have it as an app-based one, so that people can access it from their tablets and their mobile devices? And today, if you look at even the e-commerce sites, most of them have a policy not to even have a web page at all. They all prefer to go it only through an app-based one. So as a minimum enhancement of digital experience, an app-based approach would be important. So these were some of the suggestions which came up.
Okay, James.
I'll try and just be incremental. We also questioned who are the users. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We were surprised that we couldn't get that answer, and we believe that the preparers should be your largest user base, although there will be definitely many others. So based on that, we also, just to confirm, thought that the primary digital experience should be through the web page. We did see the possibility of using apps, but we focused on the web page. I think the key messages that came up, which I'm hearing as well, linkage and searchability. So finding the topic within the site, and then when you've found the topic, that it is appropriately linked to, and for instance, let's say recognition of leases, is there a board paper on that? Was there an IFRIC discussion on that? Are there basis of conclusion paragraphs that deal with that? So that linkage, but not only to other technical items, but also linkage from a language point of view to a glossary of terms, which would be very helpful to non-native English speakers. The other two points that came out that we thought were really important is the hierarchy of the authorizer, of the authority, and the authority given to the different pieces on the website. In other words, using the hierarchy of IFRS, what is the standard? What is the basis of conclusion? We could make use of color, whatever it is, to highlight the differences, but this is the standard, this is the supporting information, etc. We thought that that was absolutely imperative, otherwise there's going to be confusion as to what exactly IFRS is all about. We spent a lot of time speaking about the communities and the community forums. We really thought that this would be helpful. We acknowledge there are risks. We thought, in actual fact, board members should not be allowed onto communities because they don't want to see any form of inference or validation taking place in the communities, but it would allow a global reach. Shame there was one poor individual in Fiji who has been used as an example, but at least he could talk to other people around the world. And sharing of ideas, we thought was really a great idea. They have to be well administrated. There must be good, strong protocols in place. But we would have encouraged that as much as possible. And then the last point, I think, which is a key point, was a good feedback for the board or for the foundation as to how people are perceiving IFRS, but also to allow the experience to be much richer for the user, was to be able to give support, immediate support. So there's either a pop-up, you know, where you can ask a question, I can't find X, Y, Z, and somebody can direct you in the right direction or wherever it is, would be useful, whether it's a chatbot or an online consultant.
Henry.
I'm going to disagree with the last comment because we had that exact debate and discussion. Okay. And the conclusion was your site needs to be intuitive. And one of our members said, if that's what's happening, your site isn't fit for purpose. So I guess
there is a very good challenge.
Yes. In that respect, and I think it, you know, again a lot said, I won't repeat, but perhaps reinforce one or two things, which is you've got to look at this through the eyes of the users, recognizing there are different user groups. It needs to be intuitive. And intuitive to a digital, and as somebody said, you don't get an instruction book with an Apple, an iPhone or an iPad, or yeah, you shouldn't need an instruction book. Yeah. You shouldn't need a help or things like that. Mm-hmm. It should all be natural, intuitive, which perhaps brought us to a probably slightly different. Maybe it rolls into the second question, so maybe I'm jumping a leap on that one, which is this, you know, there's two parts to this. There's clearly the data and the information, which is clearly what the foundation owns, needs to have control over. But actually, the technology bit, is that a core competency that you should be developing, given the size mm-hmm. and scale that you are as an organisation? You know, could you look to work with others, you know, FASB, other national standard setters, or even a third party with those groups who would then build and provide the technology, and they would have the expertise, and then you would be responsible for the data, the tagging, and how the search went. So I think that I think is something we would mm-hmm. suggest mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. think long and hard around. I think the other thing you need to think about is, and it tied in some of the other conversations, your brand in a digital world. And I think it's important that links across all digital. I appreciate quite a lot of the conversation has been around the website, but actually your communication, what you do on Twitter, LinkedIn, and things like that, and is your brand a digital brand, and does it work in a digital space, and what do you want it to be in a digital space? So when they see IFRS and the foundation, what is your brand presence? What do you want your brand presence to be in that respect? A degree of discussion around, is it user pull or organization push? And where are you consciously thinking around, well, if it's organization push, how are you doing that? And it again goes to the users. Clearly, there are a number of users, probably most of us in this room, who are more than happy to read the whole standard or whatever it might be. There are others, perhaps the younger generation, who want a podcast or a little video which sort of gives them the highlights. I think there was, I can't remember who made the comment, you know. The current, if you've got a problem, you ping your friends to find out, and yeah, if that doesn't work, you Google it, but you don't sit down and read the standard from soups and nuts.
Yes.
So, you know, thinking that through, and again, one talks about, well, then does it become, I think it was Vijay Tamiya, if you're providing education at a relatively basic level, is that something that the foundation should do, or can you work with some academic bodies and just leverage things that they do, because that's sort of their core competency? I know we did have a conversation, and Anne brought up, well, you have the challenge of independence and endorsing, and how do you find that? And yeah, one would hope there would be a way around neutrality in that respect. I think key is data analytics, understanding what people are doing. I think Mark mentioned you had four websites at the moment and they're not interconnected, so clearly bringing those all together will help. And digital venturing, I think, was key, but I'm probably moving into the next area. Yeah.
Okay, I'll come back to trying to summarise that, and I think there are some key themes come through there. But let's move on to the second question, which, yes, Henry has touched on to a certain extent, so I'm not going to get him to start, but who can we learn from? Our own organisations, so us here in the room, our peers, another examples of good digital experience that may be relevant to the foundation, or, you know, in terms of the partnership, or, you know, how might we do stuff, as Henry has already alluded to. James, do you want to start this one?
So, yeah, and it's going to be actually quite a brief answer, because we didn't come up with a great number. We spent a lot of the time thinking about what we wanted, but we couldn't think of great examples for a public interest organisation where we thought it was really working well. But the key discussion that we had was about searchability and linkage, and the way Google works and the way people depend on Google would be a good starting point to think about how do we link things together on the website and how do we search the website. So that was the key message that came back on from our group.
Henry, do you want to expand a bit more on where you got to?
I mean, I think a couple of things. We are sceptical about AI, and the reason of that is the quantum of data that you need to make it really work, and actually, by definition, you're in a relatively niche area, and you're unlikely to have the quantum of data for robotics or AI to work effectively on. So how do you get more tailored search, and that's where actually people who understand the clicks will be able to help you fast track the search, because what you want to do is get people to the relevant areas quickly to answer their questions, and that's where effective MI. So I think it's that working together with people who really understand what you want to achieve and how you can do that. I agree, Google is great. I spent the last 2 years trying to redo the PwC website. Actually, Google's great if you want something generic. Go and ask Google a detailed question. It is not very good at that at all, and they will admit as much. They did not want to help PwC on this because we did not have the enough data for them to make it work. So just be wary of AI. I think that partnership model, we did think maybe the academics were an area to look at, given that there was a certain degree of where you're at. The other one, I think we would at least were put out there as somebody to consider are clearly governments and other bodies who are putting out sort of standard setting equivalent laws are similar to standard setting and guidance. Are there some good examples in that space? And again, they may be willing to work with you. I appreciate you get your neutrality or not on independence bids of governments, but is there a way of working independently in those respects? So I think we felt those, it was sort of on one side, it was find somebody who understands where you're at. And again, we had a conversation where we're working with some German technical people who want to work in the space that we're at. So actually, there are quite a lot of people out there who probably be quite interested in some of the challenges that you have from an academic perspective, and you may well find that they will be willing to work with you or partnership with you. But also, can you form a community that you share the development cost, which is common, and separately brand and manage the data?
Vijay.
There was a general acknowledgement that the IFRS website or the digital experience was pretty good compared to what is generally available from standard setter or similar bodies. But having said that, a few observations. One was through having cookies, can we track the user's behavior and connect with them with the topics of their interest with subsequent developments, so that will enhance the experience. Second, also, can we have a feedback mechanism where people can drop some like, whatever kind of thing, because typically if you were to take the next generation, they would like to have the little bit of a interactive element. Third is, we had this recent IFRS conference in June. There was an observation that there was an effort made for people to participate online, but the response wasn't too good. But I had a little bit of experience to share within the group that while the initial response was pretty low for the first conference, probably the awareness was also not much enough. But from India, we had actually been one of those who had registered. And we found that the technical staff in the technical directorate, all of them could actually participate in that conference without the need to having to travel here. So while it would appear that it was one registration, but it was actually a group of people who actually sat through there, parallelly engaged in discussions and followed the conversation. So I don't think you should give up on that initiative, because that is a forward-looking initiative, and you should pursue it for a few more years before you take have a rethink on the same. And I think, the other one was the digital experience, to have some good collaboration platforms where from the IASB with the other standard setters and regulators, can there be frequent interactions through that collaboration platform? Particularly, there are a lot of small countries who have all embraced IFRS in full, and those countries should feel connected. Many of them may not have resources to travel and participate in these conferences consistently. They might participate 1 year, second year they may not come, third year they may not come. So for them, if you have an online collaboration tool where the ISB members can interact with those regulators and standard setters, that engagement will increase, and they'll feel more part of the IFRS Foundation rather than adopting something. They'll treat it as their own one, and it'll enhance more effective implementation of IFRS. So these are some suggestions which had come up.
Andreas.
three completely unrelated comments. Who can we learn from? The number one was employ and use younger staff. I mean, why would you ask old school people who have grown up with books about their digital experience? I mean, that probably doesn't extend toward, over to a smartphone, but... So if you really want to know how young people are digesting information, how they're searching for information, what they want to learn about, then bring those people in. And probably if those people are also conversant on new technology, AI or whatever it is, then you really hit one goal at the same time, or two goals at the same time. In terms of who can you learn from, also, some of the big four firms are doing partly, I'd say, your job. I mean, you are creating a product, but you do not seem to market it overly well. That's being done by others, and it may be explicitly the big four firms. Big four firms have information services that are probably better tailored to the end user. So if I currently only have the opportunity of either being pinged every 15 seconds because there's newsflash that somebody has done something, or not being pushed at all, is there a middle way? So for instance, national standard setters are today already receiving a monthly news post from you through email that would cover everything that has happened in that one-month period. For many users, that may be sufficient. Yeah. So think about that, and that's being appreciated because that's currently being done by big four firms. Another thing is providing educational material. And one member of our group said, if you look for educational material on some of the new standards, you're sometimes left alone. There's a lot of material that's being available from the big four firms, and should it not really reside within your domain, as you are the owner of the standard, the developer of the standard, you know best probably what's there. Now, you do have a vast array and on linking some of the information, and I think the organization has gotten better in that, because you now have a lot of explanatory material, have webcasts on some, but it's not across the board, and certainly not the case for older standards. So if you think about that, I take Henrik's comment in saying, well, how much is for you, how much is really for the academic side, that's an issue. But I think if you tackle it from the perspective, you are the brand developer, you are the product owner, should you not then have the ultimate authority also over that? And one last comment that was, I think, highly interesting. Remember that a Kind, the digital process to open source platforms. If you think about Mozilla, there you do have an open development process. Bright people come together and strive for a higher good. Now, obviously, that has limits because you want to retain control over the standard setting process in the end. You don't want others to float the best ideas around that you, in the end, can't make come to life. But there may be phases in the standard development phase where actually such a cooperative process might be useful. If you think back about our agenda consultation, for instance, that would be a prime tool of doing that. Why don't go digital in that way? Or if you do have a request for information on some other bits and pieces where you really are seeking feedback, I think that would be a good way to think about it. Not so much the development of the standard as such, but thinking how could you employ that open source process into your standard development phase somehow would help you in using the digital possibilities not just as a tool of communication, but also as a tool of cooperation and engagement.
Some wonderful ideas there in terms of both questions one and two, and I certainly saw some overlap in terms of the feedback between one and two, and that they are there. The key things I think that I've picked up from what these four gentlemen have said is, first of all, and I think this came straight from Andreas, the very first words he used, and I think this is really important, there is a huge amount of information and transparency already produced by the foundation and we're seen as a role model. So we shouldn't forget that. However, in terms of the enhancement, that still is important. And to me, one of the biggest messages that came out from the four groups is, who is the customer? Who are the users? Each customer would have a different approach. Is it the user pull or organization push? And all of that is key, and in terms of getting the data analytics to understand who is using and why they are using is a fundamental part of, I think, what's come out from all four groups. Another thing that I picked up on was multi-language on the website, whether it's through Google Translation or some other way, that, and in some ways it fits with the users again, in terms of those users, in a lot of them are foreign, so how do we make it, and this leads on to the next one, it needs to be intuitive, is what I think has come out from everything else, and you know, part of that is languaging, and I think a lot of the other comments that came out all fit into that it needs to be intuitive, so that particularly with the younger generation, as you say, they're not going to go and read a whole standard. They're going to want to know the bit that solves their problem. So how do we make it intuitive and everyone can find the answers that they want? The other thing that, to me, and this was answered both in question one and question two, and I've written here, communities and community forum and sharing of ideas. And I think it came out in from each group in a different way, in terms of how we do that and where we do that, in that I think each of you came up with that, and even the open source platform arguably is that part of the community as well. So how deal with that and get other people to communicate using our platform? And again, it comes to who the users are. So that came out to me. And then one of the key things, I think, in terms of the second question, and Henry, I think by you saying that you helped develop or did a hell of a lot in terms of the PwC website, that Mark knows exactly who to talk to in terms of further thinking. So that's a great admission. Thank you. But I think working in partnership with people, that was one of the key things, and it's come out a number of times in the last couple of days, is working in partnership in terms of bringing, you know, saying, well, what is the role of our website versus others, and is it just with the data on it that's come out? And obviously the employer use younger staff, thinking about that, and whether it's a working group or whatever it is to involve those younger staff. And I think it is fascinating that the website is largely what all four groups featured on as part of the digital experience. And I must admit, I was quite surprised that that was what we featured on. And I think that that does link to bringing in the younger people to think about, you know, I think we've had some fabulous feedback from the four groups, but I think you might have got different feedback if we had used people who are, and I will speak for myself, half my age, that would have been very different feedback. And I think the last comment that I've highlighted here, and I can't remember who said it, was think about brand in a digital world. Does it work in the digital space? Does our brand work in the digital space? Because it has to. And that's one of the important things, and that arguably from our previous session around risk, you know, when we were talking about brand risk, that's one of the things of mitigating that brand risk, is to make sure that it works in a digital situation. So that is what I've summarised from what the four of them have been saying, and they're nodding, so I haven't done anything too wrong there. Does anybody either here or on the floor wish to make a further comment in relation to this? Again, I think some great feedback, Mark, to help you as you go forward. Yes, we've got the thumbs up. Okay, thank you very much, and thank you for, and we'll move down, and then we will move on to our concluding session of the public meeting. Thank you very much.